It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. The Yankees just toying with the Cleveland Guardians. At no point did I believe that the Cleveland Guardians are going to win this baseball game. Even when they loaded the bases, it seemed like every single inning. I just think that the Yankees are that much better. I think they're going to sweep this series. I think they're going to be waiting around for what's going to feel like weeks for who's going to win the NLCS. That's what it feels like. I feel like in 2022 when the Guardians played the Yankees, there was some juice there. Got to a game five. There was some energy around the Guardians. They even showed that clip of Josh Naylor rocking the baby around the bases, and I remember having those conversations. This Guardians team doesn't have that. They look intimidated. Their manager, Stephen Vogt, has done a really nice job this year. Looks like he doesn't look like he's got the command that Francona used to have in that dugout. And they're just not as good. So the Yankees smacking them around, good for them. And I'm starting to hear, both on the radio and in my private life, the cocky Yankee fan coming back out. It's like they're popping out of the ground and they're feeling the sun. I mean, I heard a Yankee fan call C-Mac this morning and go, you know, I want the Dodgers because I want to beat the best. And everybody's saying we got an easy path. Well, give us the best in the World Series. Oh, man. Oh, man, here we go. Of course, we're going to talk about Devontae Adams. 10:07, that trade goes down just like Rob Sala was fired at 10:08. If the sun collapses into the earth and ends all of civilization, it will happen at 10:07 a.m. Eastern Time. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. I'm doing great. And I can tell you that, you know, for the last 3 months, I've been telling you that they're going to the World Series. They're going to the World Series. They're going to the World Series. And I'm not, there's nothing that's changed my mind, especially when the middle of that order is doing damage like they are doing. And, you know, one night you got Soto and Stanton hitting home runs. You got Judge finally getting off the schneid, yeah, hitting a bomb last night. You have the middle of the lineup actually participating and getting involved and getting key hits. I mean, they left a ton of runs on the base pass last night. They could have done a hell of a lot more damage than they did. But it seems like a walk in the park for the New York Yankees. And they win a game that maybe there was one moment where it got a little uncomfortable when the bases were loaded and Gerrit Cole was running out of gas. But they won a game, think about this, when their best pitcher didn't have his best stuff.
Yep.
They won a game when they don't know how to run the bases.
Yep.
And they throw a stat up there and they show you how the Yankees are the worst base running team in baseball. They win a game when they don't have a legitimate third baseman who has no idea what he's doing over there.
I mean,
there.
He was just a total bleep show out there.
Right.
Well,
I'm just saying, whether it be on the base paths, whether it be in the batter's box, or whether it be at third base, you know, the real Jazz Chisholm is starting to show up, as David Sampson would tell you.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember his comments back when the trade was made, the former Marlins president basically said that Jazz Chisholm isn't the star that you think he is. As a matter of fact, he's mired in a 3-for-23 slump. Mm. He's batting .130. He's got 6 strikeouts, and he, like Francisco Alvarez for the Mets,
yeah,
is like an automatic out. And you know,
like,
and by the way, you know, all he does is intensify the other team because of his actions and his words and things. And you know, like if I were him, I would just hide right now.
Yeah, he's an antagonist.
He's an antagonist, which is fine. Everybody loves an antagonist. Like, you know, we love Jesse Winker as long as he's producing.
You got to contribute at some point. And I know that I'm not a Yankee fan, and maybe Yankee fans are watching this game differently. But all those things that you said, I'm like, the Guardians aren't good enough to win this game.
There's nobody in the American League that was even close to being good enough.
But even specifically, and right, you're right, big picture there isn't. But like even specifically last night, like Aaron Boone didn't want to take Gerrit Cole out when he wanted to take him out. But, you know, but he had to because he wasn't the same Gerrit Cole that you saw in game 4 against the Royals. He was more like Gerrit Cole you saw in game 1.
His offense took him off the hook.
Right, against the Royals. I mean, they're loading the bases every inning. They had the bases loaded, the Guardians. And I'm just like, they're going to get out of it. They're swinging at first pitches. They're popping a ball up into the infield. I mean, I think they had 2 foul pop-ups with the bases loaded in less than 2 outs. Foul territory, third base that Chisholm ended up catching. So, yeah, I mean, it feels like a sweep to me. I mean, I don't know
about a sweep.
No, I do, man.
But you know what? Here's the thing.
This is Mike Tyson versus Peter McNeil.
I mean, this team is built to do what it has been doing. Like the middle of the lineup, and with Judge and those guys, you know, hitting home runs. I mean, like, come on. I mean, I'm sitting there. I'm not a fan. I want the Yankees to win. Because I want my prediction to come right.
Sure,
or
yes.
To come true. But I also want New York to be in the World Series. One of these teams got to be in the World Series. And I want
the Yankees
of,
are. Essentially, they are this morning.
Yeah, I know that they are. And I feel like they have been since, I don't know, August. But I don't want to touch the money on the other side of the ledger. That's the thing. I'm very, very, very careful about that. But, yeah, I mean, like, they don't play their best and they still win.
Yeah, I mean, let's put it this way, though. Whoever comes out of the National League is going to be 10 times better than anything they've seen in the postseason up to this point.
And it should be a very, very good World Series.
Yeah. I mean, and whoever comes out of that National League, mm-hmm. either one of those teams, I'm taking the team in the National League. That's who I'm taking.
Okay.
Either one of them. Because I think the Yankees are getting lulled into a little bit of a false sense of security.
Well, let's hope for that when that day comes. We can start rooting for that. Right now, we just got to worry about tonight. As I always tell you, one pitch, one inning, one at bat. Come on now. Let's go.
Yeah, no, I know.
Let's get going tonight. Let's get City Field rocking. It's a little late for you and me to be there.
I don't. It certainly is. I will be going to game 5, which is a 5:08, which is perfect on a Friday. But these 8:08s are a little tough on Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, we'll be up watching them, but not being at City Field. But, you know, I told you a little bit about my regression that is going on.
I know.
And there's like another thing that's happening now.
Oh, boy.
There's another thing that's happening. It's as I'm starting to hear the cocky Yankee fan. Like, forever, I have been supportive of the Yankees, and I still am. And I want them to do well for the radio station and my friends and everything else, and I've gone to some of their playoff games and all that stuff. But when the cocky Yankee fan starts to come out and beat their chest.
Yeah.
It just is.
Well, let's just don't let it get under your skin yet. Until a line has to be drawn.
You know what? In one of the breaks, I'm gonna go have Eddie pull that call because you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when the guy calls up C-Mac and goes, you know, he's like, I want the Dodgers because I want to beat the best.
That was probably the same guy that called in August and said, the Yankees suck. They need to fire Aaron Boone. They need to get rid of Brian Cashman.
Maybe, but that's what fans do.
We're all beholden in the moment about what is happening around us. I get that. But I also understand that you talk about overreactions. And now, here's the other thing, too. Unfortunately, bad news for the Giants with Andrew Thomas. But I would say for the Jets with Devontae Adams, you know, both the Yankees and the Mets had their swoons this year. And you would have thought that, you know, the managers were going to get fired or guys were going to get traded. And both teams fought through the storm that is the negativity of New York sports. Mm. You know what the storm is. We know what it is. We live it. We
the
live
blender,
it every
day, as you like to call it.
Well, but it's also a storm. It's
also like a storm.
It's like a tornado. You get caught up and you get whipped around. And you, next thing you know, you wake up and the whole thing falls apart. Maybe Troy Aikman will be right in his assessment of the New York Jets.
Unraveling.
We'll see. I hope that doesn't happen. But I want teams to be successful around here because it's a lot more fun talking about winning teams than it is losing teams. But I don't want to get wrapped up in all the Yankee nonsense with the Yankee fan who wanted everybody fired in August.
Yeah,
I love Brandon Tierney. I love him to death. And we have some of the great drops of all time on this radio station due a large part to his intensity and his emotions when it comes to being a Yankee fan.
Right.
Get your act together! And we all know that Brian Cashman doesn't have the right
to rebuild this
team. And now the team is two games away from the World Series.
Yeah, but
I mean, so the point being is that, like, that's the Yankee fan that, like, I don't even want to deal with right now because they all wanted these guys fired.
But that's everybody. That was me with the Mets early on in the season. That's been me with other teams. Like, we all do this, man. Like, we all do it. You've done it with the Rangers where you've been upset about them and they're not built the right way and then all of a sudden things start coming together. We all do that.
This is a Stones glass house situation. I'm more upset with the league than I am with the Rangers because they seem to have a different set of rules.
But you know what I mean. We all do that. We're upset. Like, I don't blame any fan for being upset when their team is underachieving, especially when you've got the ability to talk about it for 4 hours, like all of us do. Mm-hmm. And then if things change, you're happy about it. Like it's okay. It's all right. I mean, when they were playing like crap, you're mad about it. Well, I mean, if guys like Brandon Tierney wouldn't be entertaining or fun to listen to if they just sat there and said, you know, things are going bad, but I believe in them. And just moved on and took a bunch of calls, right?
So, well, that's kind of positive, Tommy.
Yeah, but he's like the fourth voice on a 50-man show. So, like, you know,
yeah,
Brandon Tierney's name is first on the show.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so you can have a role when you're the fourth guy.
Well, the only reason I'm saying this is because of this activation that you're going through. And what is happening, it's almost like you're going through puberty all over again.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's de-evolution is what's going on. Like, I'm going from Homo sapien back to Homo habilis now.
All right, That's Homo habilis, but you also have two teams doing it. You got the undefeated Vikings, and now you got the Mets, you know, three games away from a World Series.
Which is crazy. And I told you before the last time these two teams that I root for were this good at the same time. It ended in disaster.
Oh, but God. It
did. But just for context, and it has a New York twinge to it, was back in 2000.
Yes, I know.
Where the Mets made it to the World Series, lost to the Yankees, and the Vikings made it to the NFC Championship game and lost to the Giants 41-0.
24 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think about that for a second.
Well, that's how bad, you know, it's been for some of the teams. And I mean, the Mets have, you know, they've had their moments. And the Vikings have won. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, they dip in and out. And then when they dip in, they generally break your heart and then dip out.
You know, I remember that dip in and dip out. I remember saying this, I don't know, probably 1,000 times in this radio program. Why can't one of our teams be like the surprise team that shows up?
And now the Giants were in 2007.
Yeah, right. Okay, but
it's been a long time ago.
It's been a long time.
Right, right.
I mean, and if it weren't for, you know, Plaxico Burress and, you know, Antonio Pierce with the gun issue and shooting himself, they probably would have went back to another Super Bowl.
I mean, they were better. Yeah, they were better in 2008 than they were.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, on paper, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, my point is, like, the Mets are that team right now.
Yeah, no, they are. I mean, I know, and it would, and I've always talked about how the Giants run in 2007 was the best postseason run I've ever seen in any sport because of the way that it laid out and how they went into the Dallas and they beat the Cowboys when they were the one seed. They went, which is a huge rival. They went into Green Bay when Green Bay was unbeatable at Lambeau Field and they beat them.
Red Cheeks, Tom Coughlin.
Right. And then they beat the undefeated New England Patriots that they took to the brink in the last game of the regular season. It just didn't get better than that. It was better than a movie script. Yeah. There's, I know you get very sensitive about these things. Let's just say that there is a path right now. There's a path right now, all right?
Yeah.
That is similar to that.
Yeah.
But I'll just leave it at that. I'll just leave it at that, bro. I'm just saying. By the way, he broke out the you could change a practice
facility.
Yeah,
I know he did.
Yeah, I mean, he's played his greatest hits.
It's rinse and repeat.
Right. It's like Bruce Springsteen Born to Run yesterday. It's amazing.
So anyway, don't forget the Giants had to go on a road and beat Tampa, too.
Yeah, in the first week.
Right,
yeah,
right. And the amazing thing about that whole year, as I rinse and repeat right now, is that people in the beginning or in the middle of that season had enough of Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning.
Yeah.
They had enough of them. And then they won this game up in Buffalo. And that was the Ahmad Bradshaw Antonio Pierce game, I think is how I would describe it, because it was a really bad weather day and it wasn't a great throwing day for Eli. But yeah, I mean, that was an amazing season, an amazing run. And I do concur, that was the greatest single postseason run I've ever witnessed, because it came out of nowhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you know, if things break a certain way.
Yeah, well, quite frankly, the Mets. Two things about the Mets right now that I love is that, number one, they're healthy. They have everybody available that they want available. Now, one of those players, Brandon Nimmo's dealing with this plantar fasciitis, which is just a pain in the ass.
And it's just hard to get right.
It is. And it's hard to do all the things that you're normally doing. So it'll be interesting to see how significant this impacts the team and some of the decisions they may have to make either late in games, or maybe they decide, hey, we'll just keep him as a DH.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe they put Jeff McNeil out in left field. Who knows? What there's all sorts of potential possibilities here. I think they'll probably keep him in left field for now, as long as he can manage it.
I don't want to see Jeff McNeil in the lineup.
I know that.
I understand that he would be in the I would.
The only reason he's in the lineup, the only reason he's on this roster is for in case somebody gets injured and they have a legitimate major league bat and maybe a late inning pinch hitting situation where he can come up and get you a key hit, which it seems like everybody in this lineup has had the opportunity to do. And for the most part, everybody that you've needed to come through has come through late in games.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have a 60% Brandon Nimmo than a 100% Jeff McNeil, who hasn't played in a long time.
But just remember, the 60% Brandon Nimmo could cost you in the field.
Well, so could Jeff McNeil if he's playing left field.
Well, all I'm doing is just talking about potential possibilities. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know.
Just please, for the love of God, win one of these two games, so I'm not looking at an elimination game that I'm going to in game five, because I've...
How about a Dodger elimination game?
That's exactly what I'm looking for.
All right.
That's what I'm looking for.
Because
I've seen game five eliminations. I was there for the game five elimination Kansas City Royals. I was in game five elimination New York Yankees.
It's in my head. What do you want me to do? It's in my head.
You just got to let it go, man. You got to enjoy the ride. You can't become one of these crazy cockamamie fans that, like, I don't become this when the Rangers go into the playoffs, man. I look forward to it. And I have the agit in my stomach and the anxiety.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm just saying that I was so hesitant to go to the game five because of my past game five experiences, thinking that, like, I don't want to add another one on top of
the
list.
You're a grown man now.
I am.
I'm
regressing. I'm de-evolving.
No. You got children.
I'm de-evolving.
Don't let your children see you turn into some sort of
caveman Jerry.
Meathead caveman.
I am de-evolving. I'm living outside. I'm making fires. All right, Boomer and
Gio. Come on, man. You gotta rein it in a little bit.
I know. I'm trying.
All right,
I'm fighting against the tide.
Please enjoy the ride, man.
I have been.
We are somewhere we never thought we were going to be.
I am. I don't want to make it
sound.
This is
great, and they're playing great, and they're healthy, and they got everybody available that they need available. That's the thing. Like, and they're going to see Bueller.
Yeah.
Bueller?
Right.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
Dodger fans have anxiety today. I know one in particular that's probably listening right now, and I know he's got anxiety.
Yeah. I just, you know what it's like? It's like if I were, you know, back in like the dating times and, you know, you thought you had the one several times and it didn't work out, and then you're getting dumped and you've been heartbroken. And then finally, you know, you think you have the one again, and then Like you go to hook up and you see something you don't want to see. That's what it would be if things went south.
Twigs and berries.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry is here and he's got lots to give us. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Obviously, a lot of football news to get to, which we will in a moment. But we did have ALCS game number 2 last night at the stadium, and something I don't think we've ever seen happen, I don't think, anyway, happened last night, second and third, Juan Soto at the plate.
Well, here is Soto. The infield is in, second and third, and one out, and they're going to walk Soto. How do you like that?
And that was to get to Aaron Judge.
Ballsy. 100% ballsy.
Mark Vientos took it personally.
He did take it personally.
And smashed a grand slam.
Yes.
Aaron Judge, not so personal, but still got the job done.
Bases loaded, one out. It'll be a 1-2 to Judge. Swung on and lined to left center. Get a run in. Thomas makes the catch. Throws toward third. Scoring is Rizzo.
And made it 3-0.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Should we be upset with that? I mean,
no.
Didn't he do at worst what he should have at least
job.
Tried to do?
Yeah.
I mean, if Francisco Alvarez could do that,
yeah, I mean,
we'd all be happy.
Right.
Now, he sounds really disappointed. John sounds disappointed in that.
He was waiting for the grand slam.
Aaron Judge.
He got a sack fly and an RBI and it made it 3-0. And it really, I know that he came back and scored a couple runs. At that point, it was like, this game, really.
We all feel the same way about it. And you're a baseball, savant.
Oh, yeah.
Because you coach baseball.
Not anymore. But
well, you used to.
I did used to. 15 years, yes.
But the point is, 15 years.
Yeah.
And even you, a guy who said, stick with the Mets when the Mets were down.
I did say stick with
he
the Mets.
He picked the Rangers to win the World Series before the season last year when they won the World Series.
When everybody was mocking Jacob deGrom for going to Texas.
Right. That is and they were mocking you for making that, for that declarative statement that you made.
Which was what now?
That the Rangers were going to win it all.
Well, I don't know how declarative it was. Favorite to go to
well,
the
that's series. Declarative.
Yes. Yeah, I suppose.
And but the point being is that last night's game, the baseball savant that you are, the fans that we are,
right.
Watching the game, we knew the game was over.
Yes.
At this point.
That's how it feels. It feels like the series is over. It felt right, like the game was over.
A little stress on, Gerrit Cole. Little stress. He didn't have his best stuff.
Agreed. And they still couldn't win. Meaningfully.
Maybe he can talk to Carlos Rodon about how to calm down.
Well, here was Judge. He did hit a home run later in the game, a 2-run shot. He wound up driving in 3 for the night. He talked to TBS about that at bat.
It's good to have 2 more runs there. Against a tough team, they got a great bullpen. They were fighting and clawing all game, so to give ourselves a couple more runs there, Gleyber did his thing, getting on base again like he's been doing all series, so it was good to add 2.
Yeah, Gleyber Torres, 3-for-5 on the night. Scored a couple of runs. He was on. Yes, he just says, look up and down this lineup.
The guys behind me made me easy to do my job. I don't have to do too much because I know who's going to be behind me.
Yeah, Soto and Judge, and that has certainly been the case. But he was really good last night. Gleyber setting the tone in the leadoff spot. Then there was Alex Verdugo. You also had Verdugo was good. Volpe was good. Volpe had two hits, a walk. He scored twice. Verdugo with Susan. Total team effort.
Yeah, we're just trusting our guys behind us. Everybody's kind of contributing. It's not from just one guy or two guys. It's kind of everywhere. You've seen it. It's from the top, the middle of the lineup, and the bottom. Everybody's clicking.
Now, we mentioned Gerrit Cole. He only goes into the fifth inning, 4 1/3, so it doesn't factor in the decision. Clay Holmes wound up getting the win in relief. How would you, Mr. Cole, how did you do? How would you assess your performance?
It was all right. Ben, don't break. Clay picked us up. That was huge.
Yes, he did. And Luke Weaver did give up a home run, but he did close it out. Not that he got a save.
Dude, were you worried about them seeing him, Ramirez seeing Weaver?
No. The Yankees should not worry about anything.
Okay.
I agree. I mean, honestly.
I mean, I don't know.
Just to put up the bunting for the
good
World
job
Series.
By Clay Holmes, by the way. You know, moving him out, you know, and all of a sudden now he's become one of the most important guys in the bullpen.
I think they should just start painting the World Series stuff on the field right now. Just to get ahead of it, because there's no way they're playing a game 6 in this series here. Put up the bunting.
Put it up. Let's go.
Put up the World Series bunting.
You think Lon Trost over there has got it going on right now? Do you think he's calling down?
Oh, I would. Well, let's get ahead of this thing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can get a deal on the World Series paint on the field if we do it a little bit early.
I don't. Yeah, because you know what? If you wait, then overtime comes into
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right. And then you got to worry about overtime.
Do it now.
Well, I don't think they're going to do it now, but I guess they could.
I'm with you. They should do it.
Yeah. Game 3.
I mean, they should have done it in August.
That would have been a little presumptuous, but yeah, now's the time.
Game 3 tomorrow night in Cleveland. You got Game 3 for the Mets and the Dodgers tonight at Citi Field of the NLCS. You got Luis Severino, Walker Buehler, the starters. Their series tied at 1-1. All right, there was a lot of football yesterday. After, of course, right after you guys got off the air at about 10:20 or so, we found out that the Jets were right about to acquire Devontae Adams from the Raiders for a conditional third-round pick, which did go down. When Aaron Rodgers was on McAfee yesterday as well, Adams poked his head in and was asked how he's doing physically.
I'm feeling great, man. Feeling great. Getting, I was working with the staff over in Vegas the whole time, and they got me back right. So, fortunately, I'll be able to roll.
And that was a hamstring injury?
Oh, yeah, because he was making business decisions. If you remember, Antonio Pierce a couple weeks ago, we got guys around here making business decisions.
Yep.
You know, the question is will the Raiders now trade Max Crosby? Because he has the same kind of contract as Devontae Adams has. The Raiders can get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, and I've seen people make this comparison, there's a lot of James Harden in this Devontae Adams situation right now. A lot of James Harden.
Well, look, I thought it was going to happen earlier. I was hoping it was going to happen earlier to assimilate him to the team, to get him around the team, to watch his route running. I mean, he is really one of the all-time great route running wide receivers. He is. And they do have a sixth sense together, but they haven't played together in 3 years. And I would have loved to have had him and Aaron together with Garrett Wilson and Lazard. I don't know what's going to happen to Mike Williams now. But
so let's get to that. So Rodgers was asked about the criticism for the way he answered that question about that final route where the ball was intercepted. Mm-hmm. And I did see a couple of people breaking down, too. I forget who it was. Maybe it was Acho and Baldinger. I forget, but they were showing.
Orlovsky did it. They all showed the route and what the red line means right. And everything else. Yeah.
And so here was Rodgers asked about the criticism, about the way he answered the question. He says, first things first, I always blame me before I blame anybody.
Well, I think if you watch my press conferences, I started with myself when I made mistakes. You know, I got to play better. I can't make that throw. I can't make that decision. That's the standard for everybody.
Now, that said, on that specific play,
I just ask you guys a question. How did the game end in London?
An interception.
Who was he trying to throw it to?
Mike Williams.
And where was the ball thrown?
Well, it felt like it was underthrown, but yeah, I mean, it was like
poorly thrown.
Yeah, well, sure, yeah. Okay.
I mean, did Mike Williams say, you know, we would have won the game had Aaron thrown the ball a little bit better and put it in the right spot?
He didn't say that.
He was on the red line in London.
Sure. Didn't say that.
Here was his response to all this yesterday, still with the same mentality, basically.
I have a lot of love and respect for Mike.
Uh-oh.
He does some nice things for us. On that play, he wasn't in the right spot. You know, you can make more of that if you want to, but we all should be held to a standard. I hold myself to a standard of greatness, and when it hasn't been there, which it hasn't been at certain times, I've stood up there and said, I got to play better. I wasn't very good tonight. And I think hopefully that's an example for everybody else.
Man, if he loves and respects you, you're going to be gone.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
When do they cut his ass? I mean, that's like the kiss of death. That really is. If Aaron Rodgers says on McAfee that he loves and respects you, you might as well just start packing your bags.
Now, Sunday night, okay. The Jets do play the Steelers. Mike Tomlin not naming the starting quarterback yesterday. Could be Russell Wilson.
I think it is.
I thought he was trying to decide on splitting the reps.
Well, we'll find out today. Wednesday will be the day we're going to find out who's getting reps.
So here he was asked, why are you not naming Fields your starting quarterback?
Justin has been really good, and we've been really good at times, but not to be confused with great. Man, this is a competitive league, man.
Man, I'll tell you. Not great.
Doesn't like Justin Fields.
I guess not.
It's different when a coach says it as opposed to a player.
He was asked if he could see using both of them in this game.
Certainly, there's a scenario. There could have been a scenario where that could have occurred last week.
And then asked about Wilson compared to Fields in terms of what they do and don't do.
Does Russell have the same capabilities in terms of using his legs in a similar way that Justin does?
No, he does not. Justin's legs are an X factor.
So from listening to a lot of this, it sounds like we're going to see both of them at some point.
Sounds like Russell Wilson's starting.
Yeah, I mean,
yes,
yeah.
But that's what it sounds like. Or they could also be playing games with the Jets.
Could they also start, true, could they also start Wilson and have just a couple of different series for Fields?
Yeah, 100%. Put him in shotgun, do a little wildcat action where he can throw it. Obviously, he can still throw, and he's played okay. You know, everybody got all excited early on in the season. Then when all of a sudden you start watching more and then the offense isn't moving, it's kind of like watching the Giants offense. You know what I'm saying? Oof. Especially when they play at home.
And they found out that Andrew Thomas has a Liz Frank injury and could miss the rest of the season.
All right, so it's a thing because we always talk about it. That field. There's something over there. I don't know what it is.
Tell me Liz Frank popped out of that field and grabbed Andrew Thomas.
I don't know. Maybe she did. Maybe she did. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, there's another lower leg injury or foot in this case. There's something.
He's seeing the doctors.
I know everybody, the NFL and MetLife, everybody wants to deny it. And everybody wants to give you different statistics and everything else. It's just another serious lower leg injury on that field.
Yeah, I don't know what
is
to
it?
Say. Yeah, I don't know.
You think it's a thing?
I there's a lot of lower leg injuries across the league.
But
though.
Do you see? Here we go.
This is what there is.
Okay, talking points. I'm just asking you.
Talking points. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know, man. I have no idea.
Jerry, what do you think?
I'm gonna have to yell at everybody until someone agrees with me.
Yes, exactly.
I think Al Dukes agrees with me.
I know Al Dukes agrees with me.
Oh, it's a terrible field for the list. All right, good. Next, Jerry.
All right, you read the Jerry Jones quote yesterday. Yeah. So I had that playful one where he was talking about getting out of Dodge because everyone couldn't stand him.
Yeah.
And then obviously as that interview went on, it got a little testy, as they say. I'll give you a couple of them. One, and this is before he threatens the hosts. So this is Sean and RJ on The Fan in Dallas. This is where he's asked about the team quitting because of the way they played or didn't play, obviously, on Sunday.
I can't judge it on the field. I never played or coached. The word quit gets...
You or anybody else can't specifically judge it on the field. There's 1,000 people that have got all the answers. It's fundamentally, they're different.
Yeah.
They look at the same play. Bill Parcells has said, if you're on the different side of the ball, if you're a head coach, your defensive coordinator can bullshit you.
That's live on the radio. Here's where he starts to get a little agitated with the interview.
Why are those players still the right ones for your team?
Well, first of all, where are you going to go to get any players? Seriously, where are you going to go to get any players for the next week against San Francisco?
Okay, and then this is where he starts to have had enough with the questions.
I don't even want our listeners to listen to me. To talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Then there was like this silence, and then he comes back with,
"We're trying to figure out why the team is."
I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. if you are or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
It was weird.
Yeah. You know there's some PR guy sitting next to Jerry Jones with his head in his hands going, oh,
Now the question, I think it's Sean
and RJ.
S-H-A-N.
Yep.
And RJ. So that's an Odyssey station down there.
Yeah.
So they are Odyssey employees.
Yes.
Are we firing them?
No. They do a great job.
I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just wondering, does he have that power down there to wield that kind of hammer?
The only thing I could see is him saying, I'll go on a different show if they're paying for all that, maybe.
Right, exactly.
But that also, are they the...
The morning show.
I know who they are. I'm just saying, is that station the Dallas Cowboys? They carry the Dallas Cowboy games?
Yes.
Wow. So it'd be like us, like, hammering
Nobody
John
was hammering.
They
were. Did you hear these questions?
I thought the questions were
Jerry,
very
why
fair.
Are these the right players? Jerry, we're trying to figure out why it's not working. Yeah. They're not hammering Jerry Jones. Not like, you old senile racist.
What do you think? They didn't say anything to him like that. That would be hammering him.
Well, for some reason, he responds, and maybe it's because of the blistering of his football team that he's so annoyed that he doesn't want to answer questions about. I'm not saying that he's right. He's wrong. I back the guys on the radio. I'm just wondering, does he wield enough power down there to get those?
No.
No.
No, the answer's no.
I hope not.
I literally have like 16, 17 clips. It was contentious, and as he said, the questions were fair. I don't think there was anything wrong with the
questions. But the one answer that Jerry did come up with is like, you know, where are you going to get players? He's right. Where are you going to get players? You know, you got to spend money to get players. Like, you know, the Jets traded for Davante Adams, so they gave up some assets to get him. And they also wrote him a $10.4 million check to make sure that his, and gave him a signing bonus so they could reduce the cap hit so they can fit him onto the team this year.
Amari Cooper to the Bills, by the way.
Yes.
That happened too.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Build Ford Tough Studio. All right.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So you see both presidential candidates going on a lot of popular podcasts because that is how a lot of people consume their entertainment and their news and everything. I mean, there's just a lot of listeners to be had on some of the most popular podcasts. So there's like, you know, 10 or 15 really, really popular ones. And you see both candidates going on these podcasts. So Donald Trump went on with Theo Vaughn. He went on Andrew Schultz's podcast. Kamala Harris was on with Matt Barnes and Stephen Jackson with All of the Smoke. And he also, Donald Trump, went on with Will Compton and Taylor Lewan, who have the Bussin' with the Boys podcast as part of the Barstool Network.
Right. Former offensive lineman.
Right. So they're talking football during the podcast. And Donald Trump says that, you know, he wasn't built for being a football player and being out there. And he says that, you know, he wasn't able to compete with a bunch of guys that were stronger than him from bad neighborhoods. Right. So he says this and the guys laugh. Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. Well, big deal to some people, apparently, as the Washington Post now wants to write an article about this.
Snowflakes got hurt.
So the Washington Post goes to contact Will Compton and Taylor Lewan, and they do. They get in touch with them, and they say, we want to know, do you want to provide a comment for, you know, why you laughed at that particular comment, right? So Will Compton, he gets this request from the Washington Post, and he decides to not write back in the email. He decides to respond on X for all of us to see. So this is Will Compton's response to the Washington Post question.
And they asked if Will or Taylor would provide a comment on why we found that amusing. So I'm thinking to myself, well, I'll publicly tell you guys my comment. So Washington Post, here's my comment about why I thought it was amusing.
So that is what you thought it was.
Yes, okay.
He says, here's my comment. Then he takes the phone, he sticks it next to his butt, and he farts. There you go.
This, my friend, offensive lineman, man.
This, my friend, is 2024.
This is the prevailing thought out there.
I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. So yeah. And I'm thinking he's, you know, when he's So, all right, so let me ask you. When he said, here's my comment, where'd you think it was going to go? Was he going to say, like, F you? Or...
I thought it was going to be something like that. Right, I had no idea that it would be that. But, you know, I got to give him credit for his creativity.
Yes, indeed.
And to be able to do that on demand.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I wonder how many takes he needed to get through that. But yeah, so it's amazing. I actually think that Barron Trump has a lot to do with what podcasts his dad is going on.
Because he's 18 years old, right, and he's here at NYU.
Right, and he consumes a lot of the podcasts. He says, oh, this one's good, this one's popular, you know, whatever. So Barstool got that. And Will Compton gave you the... Yeah, I mean, so Will Compton, was he an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman?
Offensive lineman.
He was?
I believe for the Patriots.
Oh, okay, so both those guys...
And Taylor Lewan for the Titans. Well, maybe Will is down there with him as well.
Yeah, Taylor Lewan obviously had a big-time career, was one of the better players in... He was a linebacker, Will Compton.
Oh, this Will Compton.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so it's this guy, the linebacker who played with the...
With the Titans. Yeah, Taylor Lewan, one of the better offensive linemen in the league there for a while, but just had so many injuries there towards the end. So those guys have put together a very popular podcast. All right, coming up next, we will talk more about Davante Adams to the Jets, what Aaron Rodgers had to say to Pat McAfee, and all of that drama that continues at Florham Park.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.